This week's mailbag comes from Sunday Basket certified workshop organizer Ryan. As a new professional organizer early in 2017, I couldn't wait to organize anyone and everyone's closets and kitchens, but I was living in fear of someone asking if I helped organize paper. So when I heard about the Sunday Basket licensing program, I knew I'd be getting to the bottom of this fear in the capable and productive hands of Lisa Woodruff, mother to all things Sunday Basket related. A year into my business, I'm loving the confidence I have with my own personal paper and teaching others about what a simple yet effective system the Sunday Basket is. And it just keeps getting better and better. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? We'd love to hear about it. Send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and let us know how you've changed your life and your home with Organized 365. Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I am so excited to have Julie Morgenstern on the podcast today. Oh my gosh, this is like a lifetime dream come true for a professional organizer, which is kind of funny. I didn't realize I was a professional organizer until 2012, but clearly, Julie, I knew that you were a professional organizer when I saw you on Oprah in the late 90s, right? But I did not equate that to being something that I could do. So Julie, I first started following you in the late 90s when you were on Oprah and when your book came out called Organizing from the Inside Out, which I'm sure is, you hear that all the time, right?
Yeah, I'm happy to hear it all the time too. It was a great book and still kind of timeless and relevant. Yeah.
Totally timeless. So I read it obviously in the, 1999 is when I read it, and I actually got it and reread it again this summer. And I could not believe I had your story about how you went to take your daughter out and you realized you were going to have to do this baby bag thing more than once. And so you spent the whole day figuring out what goes in a baby bag and having a checklist for the baby bag. And I must have read your book like numerous times in the late 90s because I had that part of the story memorized. So when I reread it 20 years later, it was like I had already read it so many times. Your book had such an impact on me because then the next year I had my first baby. And I love how you talk about, organization is an inside game, you really have to organize yourself and then you see it in your outer world. It's not about necessarily the containers, right?
It's definitely not about the containers. I think that's kind of the biggest, one of the biggest concepts and one of the biggest misconceptions people have is that organizing sort of the solution is outside themselves. Like they go shopping for containers. Like what are the two things that people do when they want to get organized? When they're finally ready, when they put it off forever and ever and ever and then they can't take it anymore. Like tonight's the night, this weekend's the one. They go shopping for containers.
Yep.
And
hundreds of dollars,
and they cart all that stuff home filled with hope, and then it just doesn't work. The stuff doesn't really solve the problem. Mm-hmm. Because containers are not gonna, you don't even know what you're going to put into the containers or how many containers or where the container's gonna be. Are they gonna fit, are those drawer organizers gonna fit in the drawer? You didn't even stop to measure. So don't start with containers. That's almost the last step of organizing, not the first. And don't start with throwing things out. That's the other, sort of misguided approach, which is thinking that organizing is about getting rid of as much as you possibly can and organizing what's left over. It is not.
Right.
You don't have to throw anything out to get organized. You can keep it all. If you want, keep everything you use and love. Just create a system that gives you access to it, right? Because having all that, not being able to find stuff is not a system.
And, I just did a podcast a few episodes ago called Decluttering is Easy, Organizing is Hard, and Decorating is Fun. Because organizing isn't really easy. It takes thought and changing habits often, rearranging things in your house so that they flow better. And it is an individualized journey. Like getting organized is an individualized journey.
It is. And it does take thought. It's a puzzle to be solved.
Yes.
It's a system to be designed.
Mm-hmm.
That's not anything about you as a human. It's not about retraining yourself. A really well-organized system solves the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
But what should go where? It's an engineering project. It takes so much brain work. And once you put that in, if you do it right, the system just flows amazingly. I'll tell you a really quick story. Maybe 5 years ago, I met love of my life after long, and I know we're going to talk about single motherhood and single parenthood, and I raised my daughter, but I met a great guy, and he had a sailboat. I never was really interested in, I didn't know anything about it. But he was like such a bachelor type of situation. When I walked on that boat, it was just a hot mess. And this is like someone I'm dating, so I'm not treating him like a client, but I couldn't stand being on that boat in that condition. So I just started asking him questions and very casually rearranged everything. And he said, but with him, I didn't do it for him. Right, I did it with him. I was just like, where do you, and how do you use your tools and blah, blah, blah. And I asked all these questions about what things were and how he operated and just put them all in a place that was the way he thought. And he could not stop saying how, when he was on the sailboat, whenever he needed something, it was in the place he naturally reached for.
Yeah.
And it blew his mind. This was like a guy who never really thought about organizing in that way. So yeah, it's natural, but it's a puzzle.
Yes. Okay. So you publish this first book, Organizing from the Inside Out. You have a daughter. And you obviously started a professional organization business. There are a lot of people who listen who are thinking about being professional organizers or who are professional organizers. Can you just tell us, your journey about realizing that was a thing, starting your business, how you offered the services, just like a synopsis of your professional organizer service business?
Yeah. So the business really came out of when I got divorced, my daughter was three. I was a theater person. I was a director, and that's all I knew. I thought there were only two careers at that time, theater and not theater. And pity the poor souls in the not theater career. Like that was just, I was very myopic. But when I got divorced, I could not afford theater hours, which is evenings and weekends, or theater money, not as a single parent. It actually worked kind of beautifully as a married parent, right? Because I could be with my daughter all during the day when her dad was at his traditional job. And then when he got home, I could go to the theater. So she always had a parent with her. But the minute I got divorced, that went right down the tubes. And I did not know what to do. And I spent about, 8 months. I went back to waitressing, and I was a performer, and I was dancing and waitressing and running around. And then I was talked to a friend who was an old theater friend, and through a conversation with him, the idea of this business came back to me because I had wished this service had existed when I was in grad school. When I was in undergrad, I was in school in my hometown, so my chaotic ways, and I was a very disorganized person, very chaotic, always last minute, always running around, losing things. But I went to college in my hometown. So whenever I got into trouble, I basically dialed my parents. And I was like, school starts tomorrow. I just rented an apartment. I didn't actually think I needed to clean it first. Can you come help? But when I went to grad school, I didn't have that. And I kind of was like, I wish there was a rent-a-mom service that would rescue me from my chaos every time I got in trouble. So fast forward many years later, this idea came back to me talking to a theater friend after I divorced. And I said, I always thought that'd be a cool business, like rent-a-mom, someone come and organize you whenever you sort of mess things up. And he said, Julie, that is a brilliant idea. Think about it. Like people in New York, everyone doesn't have time to do. And I was like, really? I had never articulated it. And I did in that moment. And I was like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it right now. I had nothing to lose. I had no income to lose. I had no job security to lose. Wasn't leaving a corporate job. There I was. And I started literally, Lisa, with $100 borrowed.
Yeah.
From my best friend next door, Zoe, who, and I used $75 to get like business cards and stationery printed, and $25 to place an ad, a classified ad in what was the Big Apple Parents paper. And it said, you know, drowning in meaningless busy work, you know, overwhelmed by clutter and chaos, called Taskmasters. I gave my company a name at that time, Taskmasters. And I picked that paper because I was a single working mom. I was living in a community of working parents. And I knew that parents, working parents in particular,
yep,
are the most time stretched, overwhelmed. They have so much to manage that they were a great target audience. And a single ad in a monthly publication to parents would have a 3-month shelf life, because every parent I knew kept those copies around for at least 3 months. I was like, wow, 25. Yeah. And that's how I built the business, was in that community, you know, to parents. Yep.
Awesome. So, okay. So you're a single working mom.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who are listening to the podcast are growing families and passion projects or businesses at the same time. And you are a productivity specialist, Julie. So can you give us like just a tip or two for those of us that are with school age, middle age, high school kids at home? We're in the thick of those survival years where literally there's just so much going on. Just a productivity tip or two.
Just a productivity tip or two. Like, number one, you have to create office hours and an office location for your business. Whether it is a passion project or something you're trying to make money on, create office hours and an office space. Just because you can work anytime doesn't mean you should. And just because you can work anywhere in your house with wireless technology does not mean you should. You have to create the physical and schedule space and group your activities so that you know, even if it's you're going to just work 6 hours a week on your project, Brit, yep, is 2-3 hour blocks of time, because I doubt, you know, 6 1-hour blocks of time is actually going to get you anywhere, because it's not enough time in an hour to do anything meaningful. You're going to start many things, finish none. So group, figure out the right blocks of time, and then depending on the age of your kids, build it into a time of the day or week when you can truly protect that time. And how do you do that? So if you have young kids that are like home, you need to get childcare coverage for your working hours. And I did it too. I learned that lesson very early on. I worked from home. I created a home office in the corner of my bedroom, which kept growing and growing and growing. But I learned very early on, I cannot be doing my business with a 4-year-old who's saying, "Hey mom, I have a question. Can I show you this?" Right? Juice. You can't do it. And it's not fit, because when you're home with your kids, you can do stuff, but you must be interruptible. That's called together but apart time. And that is fine, but you can't be in the zone where if your kid interrupts you, you know, there goes the whole project, there goes the whole proposal. So if you have young kids, make sure you have coverage. Go ahead.
You know, we often say, I feel that there's like this sense out there that like, okay, I can do that if I am earning an income. Like if my work is earning an income. But what I often say to the Organize 365 community is work is whatever you're passionate about, whatever you spend your daytime hours doing, whatever lights you up, fills you up, doesn't necessarily give you a financial reward. So I think if you are the PTA president, then you should have office hours for your volunteer role as well, a desk for your volunteer role, a specific box. We use these boxes, a box for that role. And you should have a mother's helper come over 2 days a week for a couple of hours so you can do that role. Like it's hard. We often feel like we can't hire help or we can't designate work time unless we're being financially rewarded. Looks like you want to say something to that.
I agree with you completely, Lisa. I think we have to recognize what work really is. Work, okay. First of all, work is and can be a way, and you're raising a family, to provide for your family, to generate income, to generate revenue, and then use it to spend, you know, raise your family. That is one of the things that work does. But work is also a source of enormous human fulfillment, expression. Yes. It's a container in which you can funnel your natural born interests, talents, and skills, which is part of being a human. Like each of us has is a unique individual with unique set of interests and skills and passions and talents. And it's the human experience to want to use those talents, skills, and interests towards something. That's part of being a human. Now, you can make money doing that. You don't have to make money. It's about the expression of those talents and skills. That makes you feel whole. That makes you feel like you are living up to your full potential as a human. It doesn't matter really whether you're paid for it or not. That's a secondary separate issue.
Yep.
And there are many people who work not using those natural born skills and talents, but just a job that pays the rent or the mortgage. And they still need a passion project, a way to express their skills. So don't think of it as just a money-making thing. Work is a contribution that we need as humans to make to the world in which we are living. So if you can pour those talents and skills into the PTA and that's your job, do it and honor it.
And I think this leads into what I wanted to talk to you about on the podcast, because you and I have both, well, I'm experiencing it. You've already experienced it. And your new book is called Time to Parent. So you're talking about a lot of these parenting issues. We don't necessarily talk about kids a ton. Well, we do talk about them, but we don't necessarily dive into some of the issues you have in your new book, Time to Parent. So I definitely recommend that you guys all go check out that book. And Julie has a podcast called Time to Parent. So head on over after this one and start listening to that one to get some more of her awesome parenting tips. But I want to talk about what happened to me this year and has happened to you and is happening to a lot of people in the Organized 365 community is that when your kids are in high school, their lives become, I mean, you think you're busy when your kids are in grade school, but by the time they're in middle school and then high school, it's just like a constant, never ending. I outsourced all of my laundry last year for a whole year just to get that time back because I was teaching driving and we were applying to colleges and we were just doing all of the high school things. And then you know what happened, Julie?
What?
We went to college.
Uh-oh.
So now, so you went from like your entire day is like, we're shopping at Walmart, we're setting up the thing, we're teaching them how to do laundry, we're doing all these things. And then all of a sudden, they're gone.
Yep.
And now I still have one at home. I'm not totally like done yet, but the noise level at home is way lower. Yeah. Like the amount of free time I have is way higher. And what I think happens to a lot of women along the way is we go all in on parenting. Do it, like do it, definitely do it. But kids grow up and they leave us. Yeah. And then we've poured all of ourselves into these kids.
Yeah.
And we turn around and I'm like, what do I like to do? Greg and I are looking at each other like,
who are you?
We can't go out to dinner every night. Like, we binged the TV shows. We like, we need a new TV series. Like it's like a whole new thing. And I personally remember being 18 and 19. Like when I went to college, I was out of there, like out of there, done, independent, I'm off. And my son's the same way. I'm totally fine with it. My husband's very sad. I'm excited for him, but that means that now I'm like starting my next act or, you know, life is definitely changing. What can you tell us about what we're experiencing here?
Yeah. I mean, this is the empty nest, right? This is the beginning of for you. It's like a half empty nest or it is. It's a pretty profound shift. When you have either been all in on your kids and you structure your whole life, your whole thought process, every waking moment, every decision is all organized around your kids. And then when your kids are not there to organize yourself around, you are flopping around in the wind.
Yes.
Even if you're not you know, internally ripped apart, which your husband is and most people are. I remember when my daughter...
I'm not callous. I mean, I love the kid.
No, I know. But I guess, you know, look, you there's, that's a very healthy, also, you were sort of prepared. You did it.
Yes.
I know when my daughter went to college and I had raised her as a single parent, so I did not have like a significant other there. I like, it was the business and her was the most of my energy. And I remember when she left, I was in that apartment and I was very brave faced with in front of her. But when she left, I was in this apartment. I felt like I was rattling around in this big space. And I just sat on the floor and I wept. Oh, I cried and I cried. But I acknowledged like the sadness. Mm-hmm. But then I was able to say, wow, this was a beautiful home that we had together. Like I created something with her and for her. And I can now take all of that, celebrate that, and take all that free space and now divide it among the things that have been neglected. And so what could use more time? And I literally took the full pot of time and energy and I divided it a little bit into my business, which I had held kind of back a bit, right? Like when you're raising your kids, you're holding the reins. So I poured into the business and I poured half into my personal life and I started dating and I started spending more time with friends and exercise and just sort of like divvied up the treasures. And it was just great. You literally are going to inherit a bunch of time. Figure out what you want to divide it among, not all into one bucket. Mm-hmm. Some into your marriage, some into your own health, some into your business. And before you know it, that extra like 27 hours is going to be like taking you toward your next set of goals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great. Now, these young adult children that are leaving our house who think they're fully developed, by the way, but they are not. What skills do they need? Like, I didn't even teach laundry till this summer. I waited a long time, but we got the laundry skill down. But you know what I didn't realize is I taught him laundry on our home machines. He carries a credit card. They use quarters up at college. So I literally had to drive up there and be like, okay, this is what a quarter is. And we put it in here. And this is how a coin-operated thing goes because, you know, they're also smaller than ours. Like, it's not just the skill, but often it's if the skill is different. Like, if the skill looks different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what are the – look, what kids need – There's two parts to my answer, Lisa. So one is, what are the skills that they need? They need the life skills, right, of organization. How do you physically organize a space? You have roommates. How do you, in your limited corner, keep your stuff and then be able to find and put things away? So they need organizing skills. They need time management skills, particularly in college, because for them, this is the first time they have an erratic schedule, truly erratic. They could have three classes on Monday, nothing on Tuesday morning. One, you know, Wednesday's packed from beginning to end. Thursday is free. And Friday they have two classes. And they have to organize their own time between being in class, the homework, their social life, right, and their own self-care. So you need to teach them time mapping. We can talk more about how you teach these, but they need the time management skills and they need the money management skills.
Yep.
And, you know, learning how to manage a budget and a credit card or a bank card and what are, and you can teach that too in bits. In Time to Parent, in the book, I have an entire chapter in which it talks about, it's called Teach, how do you teach your kids different things at different ages and stages. And I literally lay out by stage, how do you teach and what are the organizing lessons? What are the time management lessons? What are the money management lessons? How do you actually teach that? Because if you're not a master of it, it's really hard as a parent. And that's, I think, what causes a lot of parents distress is like, you want to teach your kids stuff that it's, you don't own that skill. But you can learn it together and you can teach it.
And it's flat out time. Yeah. I mean, it's just flat out time. So, you know, I have taught life skills in the summer, every summer for my kids, but it's taken me longer to teach them than maybe other kids take to learn. And so we've covered less. And so it's taken us longer. So we had a lot of life skills still to teach junior summer of junior year and senior year. Yeah. And just equipping the apartment, going up there a couple of times because he's driving, he's at a trade school, and learning the roads up there, where are you going to go grocery shopping? It takes so much time to teach all of those skills. And if the kids are in sports and they're working, there's not a lot of time. So the beginning of this school year, 2 weeks in, we decided to homeschool my daughter. She's a junior.
Wow. And so,
it's a solution for empty nest, by the way. So just bring your mom.
Now wait a minute. When we said divide that between your work and your husband and you, it sounds like you poured it all into one, your remaining child.
Yeah.
We're going to work on that.
So we brought her home to homeschool her. And the first thing I did was I taught her email, and we cleaned out her email inbox, and I taught her calendar management, which I had taught my son the last year. And I realized she had never deleted an email before. And so I had to teach her that. I was like, oh, I didn't even teach Joey that, because he learned email at his school. He went to a different high school. And I was like, this is why some people don't know email management. Nobody taught them. Like, they got an email address and they just started using it. Nobody taught them how to get to email inbox serial, how to unsubscribe, how to put emails into folders. Like, there are a lot of things that maybe because we learned computers on the way up, like as computers were coming out, we were taking those courses. Well, now you just get a computer. You know, nobody stops to teach you those skills. And often we think our kids have some skills that maybe they don't.
I think you're right that when you are raising your kids, the time to teach is limited.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you may or may not have those skills yourself. So if you don't have them, it's harder and it's kind of emotionally distressing. You kind of freak out and you get a lot of like battles with your kids because you're so upset that they're disorganized because you're disorganized. Or they're managing money bad because you are. So there's a lot of that. But I think that there's a couple things that when I wrote Time to Parent, my goal was to sort of describe the job description of like any job description. What are the responsibilities you actually have to balance your time between? Where are the edges? Is it an infinite job? Is it endless? Or like any job, could you say this is the X number of things that you have to divide your time between? And
right.
I figured it out. And I, in the book and in the podcast, I talk about it. We do something each week on one of the quadrants, but there's really four, the way I have it divided is when you're raising your kids, this is important for you, Miss Lisa, they listen to as I say it, hear me now. While you're raising your kids.
Recorded, Julie. They'll all remind me. Everybody like, Julie told you, Lisa.
Okay. While we're raising our kids, this is something no one ever talks about. While we are raising our children, happen to be the prime of our own adult development.
Yes.
Years. No one ever talks about that.
I do.
Well, there you go. So you're raising kids and you're trying to raise these humans and you are in the prime of your own adult development years. You're building a career. Or you feel like you should be if you're not and you're taking yourself off the block. You're building adult relationship with a significant other and adult friends. You're discovering who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And that's a fact of life. Mm-hmm. So what's the dividing job? You have to divide between raising a human and being a human.
Yeah.
And each of those have four parts. So when you're raising a human, you have to provide for them. We talked about that, the money, all the organizing and arranging the logistics. That's what you're talking about. You also have to relate to your kids, which is get to know them for the unique individual they are. And then you have to teach them life skills. Let's just stick with that. The other one is all about you. And we're going to come back to you in a minute and time for that. But when you're teaching your kids, I do think we want to teach our kids life skills and we want to teach our kids these things. They empower them. But remember always to relate before teach, that relating. And I think we often, when we're trying to equip our kids, conflate relating and teaching, which is like, and they feel very different to your kid.
Right.
On the receiving end, if somebody, every time you're with them, they're trying to teach you the ways of the world and how to do things and you can do this.
Yeah.
If it's all the encounters are about that, even though it's coming from love, from your parent, you're always in student mode. You're always in learning mode. And so you want to really mix it up as a parent and not actually use every single moment to teach. And if you didn't teach them everything, it's better that you love them.
Yes.
Than teach them, because they can learn those life skills also on their own. someone else can teach them those things as well.
Agreed. So I love what you're saying here. So I agree with you that maybe in your very, if you have your children very young, you may not be in your prime adult years in your 20s, but definitely you start hitting them in your 30s, and the 40s are awesome. Like, yeah. I say it all the time. When you turn 40, I have somebody who's turned 39. She goes, I'm almost 40. I can't wait. Like, I have everybody like excited to turn 40 because it's amazing. Like, your 40s are fantastic.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, here's the thing. My kids, we are cultivating what they love to do. And like, my son already has an LLC. He's in a trade school. He's already starting his own business. Like, they know what they want to go out and do and be. I was like that as a child. My husband was not. I find many women are getting organized. And you know what happens when you get organized?
You have more time.
Yes. I keep telling people, I'm like, this is a lie that you can't buy time. You 100% can buy time. Get organized. Totally. You'll have more time than you know.
It's so true. Time and mental energy.
Yes.
And confidence.
Yes. And then you know what? They're like, great. I'm organized. I have time. I've built my confidence. I don't know what I want to be.
Okay. Yep. But you don't have to know what you don't. Okay. So you don't have to know what you want to be.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the self-care, right?
This is
of raising a human while you're doing it. And you know, even after they go, you have to always need to tend to these things. So there's four ways that we can take care of ourselves. Work aside, let's leave work on the side for a minute, which, you know, that's to provide. So think of the acronym SELF. S-E-L-F. Okay. We have to sleep. We have to spend time sleeping. And moms out there, I'm sure your sleep is probably not that good, right? Because parenting has a way of stealing sleep, or we have a way of using the time we should be sleeping as our only self-care time.
Yep.
So restore and recover your sleep. It starts with sleep. That's the first thing to do. Exercise, fitness, movement. It doesn't mean the gym 3 times a week or classes. It means move your body. You could do an 8-minute workout 5 times a week, and that is amazingly powerful. But movement, right? Because that makes you feel confident and fit. That's the E. Love, your adult relationships. If you're married, get to know, start cultivating that marriage.
Yes.
We drift apart when we have our kids. You know, don't wait for your kids to go away to like remember who's sitting across from the table from you, right?
Yep.
Sometimes we don't make it if we wait that long, right?
Exactly.
Like, you drift, it's really high risk. That's high risk behavior. And it really, we understand it. So cultivate love relationships and then fun. S-E-L-F, fun. What is it? What are the hobbies or the passions, projects, et cetera, that just make you feel like you? And those are four different things you want to divide your time. Now that you have self-time, don't pour it all in one bucket. Divide it a little bit in each, and then experiment. You may be surprised that you will figure out what you want to do in your life, quote unquote, like who you want to be when you grow up, as you're getting more sleep, as you are feeling your body and you're moving and you don't feel like a slug, you know, as you are nurturing other adult relationships and just having interesting conversations. Sometimes it comes when you're not looking directly at it. Live and cultivate your whole humanness, and it will come to you. Don't just sit there and wait for an idea.
Yeah.
Get engaged. That's the way I think it works. Get engaged. Yeah. And I don't mean to like a new human in life.
Well, I just think we're back to, you know, the boat, the guy in the boat.
That's true.
Well, Julie, this has been a pleasure to talk for you. A highlight of my last 2 decades, by the way.
Oh, like, so sweet.
If anybody has like a someone they've always wanted to meet, you are someone I have always wanted to meet. I have followed you for the last 20 years. What an honor it has been to interview you. Everyone, go check out the podcast Time to Parent and get that book. And I go ahead and get the one Organizing from the Inside Out. I still love that book. I told you, I just reread it again this summer. Yeah. Julie, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Is there anything else you wanted to add or any other ways that you wanted to connect with the audience?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that no matter the age of your kids, Lisa's got one out of the house and one still in, but no matter the age of the kids, really, and this is what Time to Parent delivers, is it really teaches you in the most practical, attainable way how to create the space to both nurture your kids and nurture yourself throughout the journey of parenthood, to give you the time to do that. And it's surprising how little time it takes. It's all this idea of short bursts of consistent attention to your kids and to you in short bursts. So it's a very revolutionary approach. I wish I'd had this book when I was raising my daughter. It answers the question when people tell you, while you're raising your kids, make sure you take care of yourself too, which you, mm-hmm. I remember I was like, are you kidding me? I can't. What are you, right. I don't even want to take care of myself. I only want to take care
of myself. It's so true. I mean, you're left with you at the end. still living with yourself.
and by nurturing yourself mm-hmm. while raising your kids, you literally, and I show you how to do it without stealing time from them. You're not stealing a thing. You actually are role modeling.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Don't you want your kids to have a vibrant life and take care of themselves?
Yeah. Exactly. And yeah. They are learning most by what you mm-hmm. model. No matter what you say, that is how kids learn. Model what it means to be a happy, healthy, well-rounded human. It doesn't take a cent away from them. It only inspires and enriches and makes you in a position to be the best, most loving parent you can be. So that's
all right. Well, you guys heard it. Now you need to go read the book, Time to Parent. Find that time for yourself. And Julie, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you, Lisa. It was great to talk to you.